Hello there, Outliers. Niyama Shang here, and welcome to the Outliers Edge podcast, where we champion the leaders who are shaping the next era of humanity by helping them leverage what makes them different to make their difference. I can feel right now in this moment a level of cool groundedness, right? There's like as we start out this conversation, it's because I'm talking to someone who I feel is both of those things. Both cool, like legit cool, and very grounded in the same way. We have Brian Noel today as our featured outlier here. And Brian, I'm excited to be in conversation and in space with you. Thank you so much for making time and for this conversation here today.
Yeah, Niyama, thank you. Great conversation when we kicked off. We started chatting like little boys on the playground, and we had to stop ourselves so we could actually record. So, yeah, oneness, oneness for sure.
I think that element of when I hear oneness, it brings up something for me, which is my highest value right now. I have my values, which I like, which I put into like action, like different mottos and such. But my highest value overall is integrity. And I have to ask myself, like, what does integrity mean for me? And to me, I look at integrity as being whole, right? Being like one with self. And so, when I look at, am I acting in integrity? It's like, am I being true to myself? Am I being the same? Am I being whole with Brian the way that I would be with my family, or like so on and so forth, and just like bringing that. So when you say oneness, it's to me, it's a reminder to bring all of me to this conversation and being in that level of integrity. So thank you for even setting the stage that way.
Yeah, and projected integrity is hard to maintain.
Tell me what that means for you. Like we're just going right in. Tell me what
Well,
that
we
means for you.
know social constructs that we're supposed to be integrous. So if we are struggling internally and we have this war going inside our head, and we lie to ourselves and we bash ourselves and we hate ourselves, but yet we're trying to project to the world that we have integrity, it's just really hard to maintain. It takes a lot of energy to project integrity versus when we rest in our oneness and our completeness, and then just integrity exudes. It just becomes an overflow, right? So that's something that I've been learning for the past year.
You know, it's we're in a bit, Outliers, I promise you, we're gonna let you get to know who Brian is. You're already getting a sense just from the way that the conversation started. But there's something about what you said that made me think about imposter syndrome.
Yes.
And yeah, and when I look at, like, I haven't looked at the definition in a while, but one of the key elements is like the fear of being found out as a
Found out.
fraud. Yes, right. And so that level of the projecting integrity, the projecting element is like causes that disconnect, because it's like if there's nothing to be found out, or if you are living out loud and just like, well, we get it, like he's not great at this, or he's awesome at this, or this is his first time doing it, or whatever it is. Even before we came into this conversation, we were talking about the flow and how the conversation might go, and I put into the conversation, I was like, hey, I might not do this, not because I think I'm being a great podcast host, but because a part of me is still afraid, like of going this far. And it was like, candidly, it was because like if I don't do that, I will be thinking about this. It will cause a disconnect here. I'll be afraid, like I would feel like I'll be out of integrity with what I had said, let me agreed upon coming in. And at the same time, it would also be playing out in my mind like the whole time, like, should I end? Should I go? Should I not? You know? And instead, now I can just be free and be here fully in this present moment with you.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, the imposter syndrome is pretty interesting. I've thought a lot about, and I would call that the inner critic. I've heard it said as the inner critic or the inner nurturer. The inner nurturer, you're gonna do great. You're doing such a good job, And the inner critic is like, they're gonna find out that you are an idiot. And I think for me, and we can go more into this as you wish, but for me, at first I tried to replace the inner critic with the inner nurturer. You're a failure. No, I'm not. You'll see. I was trying to run from the inner critic, just running like it's behind me. And really, I'm talking like just a couple of months ago. I think the idea is to embrace the inner critic and let the inner critic remind me of what's not true. So you're a failure, or you're going to mess this up. You know, it's more like, well, thank you for warning me that if I trip on stage and throw up on the front row, if I don't prepare, you know, this may happen. Thank you for preparing me, but I prepared as much as I can. So I'm going to do the best I can. You know, you're not valuable. And that was a big one for me, inner critic. You know, you're not valuable enough. And so for me, it's my response to that inner critic is thank you for reminding me that my values don't rest in the values of this world. You know, my social status, my wealth status, that stuff doesn't matter. My value doesn't lie there. Right. So when the inner critic says, you know, you haven't hit this milestone, or you haven't generated enough wealth, or, you know, you haven't created a company big enough, I just say, thank you for reminding me that that's how the world measures success and value. But I don't measure value that way. All I can do is give with gratitude and unconditional love what I have in this moment. That's all I can do. That's absolutely all I can do. That's an absolute.
So we
And
got it.
so I can rest in that, knowing that I'm doing the right thing. And so when the critic comes and says his, for me, it's a him. When the inner critic says his whatever things, I can just go, thank you for reminding me that I don't believe that anymore.
Now I'm deeply curious about what are some of the values that you do like ascribe to. So like I'm not like the values that you, yeah, let me just ask it.
Yeah. You know, a couple of, I like to call them new scripts. A couple of new scripts that I've learned and I'm learning to practice. That's important. Is I am you and you are me. So this idea of understanding individualism versus collectivism, I guess that's the word, right? Some people call it the collective conscious. Some people call it we are all one. Some people say we're all made from the same God. So whatever your language is to describe this battle between me and us, the way I like to practice that value is I'm you and you are me. So if I brush up against someone who's impatient, you know, instead of judging that person, I can say, you know what, I'm impatient sometimes. You know, so I can't really judge them for being impatient because I'm impatient sometimes. Someone who lacks confidence, you know, I can easily, you know, tell them, shake them, you know, you're a great person, you can do this. But at the same time, I've experienced times where I've lacked confidence. So, you know, there's a scale of extreme there. You know, if I'm hanging out with like a serial murderer,
Really?
you know, it's a
Well,
little.
I'm assuming you don't have a time. Well, there was a time where I
Not
did
that I know of.
once.
Not that I know of, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes our neighbors are the best proximity to be next to a serial killer. But anyway, so I'm you, you are me. And that helps me really live out this goal of radical non-judgment, right? A goal of mine is radical non-judgment. How I practice that goal is I am you, you are me.
I'm loving all of this here, and I think that what I want to do is I want to give us a little bit more space for the conversation that we're having, and the space that for me the it comes to helping the outliers out here get a chance to get to know you, right?
Yeah.
So clearly outliers, like you're talking to someone who's if you don't mind, I'm gonna share who you've been to me, and part like this
Yeah,
is how
let's
I
do
like
it.
to do it. So Brian, I've experienced you as someone who is profound, not just in like the on a philosophical way, but like profound in just the sense of like choosing to walk through depth and like in what you do. I feel that the decisions that you make come with weight, but they're not heavy, right? Like every step that you take is one
Wow.
that has been like deliberate, you know, while at
Yeah.
the same time very like open to what comes with. I said earlier, I said like there's a coolness to you. And at the same time, it's grounded. I think this is one of the things that I feel with you, because what I get about you is that like your lived experience and the practices and the things you choose to do aren't just because you heard it somewhere and it sounds good and you're like affirming it to yourself. Like
Yeah.
it is through a hard-worn path of conscious decisions and conscious like confrontations of life and yourself that has brought you here. And I feel that with you in the way that you come in, which is why it's like so easy for me to just go into wherever the conversation goes. I want to share, like, I want to share, this has been my experience with you thus far. It will only get deeper, it will only elevate from there. But I'm really glad to be getting to know you.
Man, I appreciate that. And the way you phrased you come with and what you say has weight, but it's not heavy. I really like the way you phrased that because that is a perfect articulation of this past year and a half for me. We'll get into it a little bit, I'm sure, if it's natural, but so I sold out of a company and I was like, I want to go to therapy. And I started going to therapy simply because I wanted a clear head and I wanted to remember some of my childhood that I could not remember. And I was just like, cool, let's go to therapy. That sounds fun. I'm an adventurous person. And so there's a lot of details in between. But that phrase of it comes with weight, but it's not heavy, or groundedness, but it's not heavy. So when I started all this, it felt very top heavy. I was navigating all this in my head. My mind, I was disassociated. My manager voice was screaming at me all the time. It's just the world felt unbalanced. And I love that phrasing because I just felt unsteady and I just felt top heavy. But as I've been so fortunate to meet incredible therapists and guides and breathwork coaches and neuro pathway reprogramming coaches, and fascial release and massage therapist and just all of these cool quote healers, it shifted to this idea of being very grounded, just grounded to the core of the earth. And now it feels so much lighter up here. So has weight, but it's not heavy. Life felt heavy. Business felt heavy. Family felt heavy. Money felt heavy. Heavy. Making decisions felt heavy. Running a business felt heavy. Not screwing it up felt heavy. And this is obviously evolving and changing and all of the words that describe that, sometimes very painfully, sometimes very easily. But it feels less heavy. And that's for me. Profound. Am I allowed to cuss on this podcast?
You can be you. That's really
That's
it. You can be you. So however that ends up coming together, like that's what we're gonna do.
then I'll say it's fucking profound.
There we go.
So, and I'm
There we go.
grateful. I'm grateful. I'm so grateful that I get to experience this. So.
Well, help us now experience you, Brian. Give us a bit here. I shared a bit of like who you've been to me. You walked me through this last the bit of the last year and a half. Give us a chance to get to know you and your journey right now. So people sometimes say like, where do I start? And I'm like, every story starts in the middle. So like we're good. We're good.
Yeah, cool.
But I we got a chance to talk and I think that there's something there here. I wonder how people get to know you personally and professionally, but I think that like I'm curious about like what brought you to this moment. Why don't you share a little bit about that? And we'll unpack along the way,
Yeah.
in a meaningful way.
What brought me to this moment in a studio in Kennesaw, Georgia in 2024? Yeah, I've been, I grew up in what I would call the sticks, and it developed into the suburbs, and I always called myself kind of a mutt. I wasn't country enough to hang out with the country people, and I wasn't city enough to hang out with the city people. My parents were hippies, so I was caught in between. From starting a recording studio in middle school in my friend's parents' basement that turned into four rooms and, recording 24 channels. And for those of you who know about recording, this was the late 1990s. That was a big deal. In that moment, I was an engineer and I realized that I didn't have a passion for engineering. I had a passion for creating space for creatives to be as creative as they could be. Now, I didn't realize that. That was introspectively looking back on what I was drawn to in that moment. But from there, that turned into strategy, creative strategy through live events, and then that turned into business strategy. And to not get lost in the details of me quitting jobs and changing companies and starting companies and just trying a lot of things. I would say the overall theme has been if I find myself in the position to where what I am doing no longer strikes my curiosity, I quit and I change immediately. I had a steady job. My wife and I just adopted our first child, and this was all very new to me. He has Down syndrome. We didn't intend to adopt a child with Down syndrome. So we were new parents navigating this world. And a friend came to me and said, I'm going to start an agency. I have 3 months cash in the bank. Here's QuickBooks. If you want to join me, you can. It's up to you to make your own salary after that. And I said, let's fucking go. Because it was time. And so taking those risks, I've lost money, I've made money, I've created things, I've burnt things to the ground. But the overall theme to this moment, as a 41-year-old man who's been married for almost 20 years and two kids now, I would say if I found myself in the position to where I was no longer curious or passionate, I was not staying there long. And now I find myself in a studio with podcast and video equipment, and we create a lot of content. We tell a lot of stories, starting a couple of businesses, facilitating, speaking, writing. But I would say the main theme for all that for me has just been being curious, and just not afraid to do something else, just try something. So that's what brought me to this moment right here.
Yeah, I appreciate you, Brian. As you're talking, I'm smiling, and there's something you said earlier that caught me. You said creating space for creative people,
Yeah.
and I think the reason that line in particular caught me was because I spend my time like trained as a coach, like spend my time holding space for people, and I remember being at an event and coming to the conclusion that I'm like, oh. I'm proficient as a space holder. Like I can hold me some space, you know.
Yeah.
But what I'm really here to do is create space. And there's something in there where it's actually been a journey. It's been like a knowing, but then like
Yeah.
navigating that journey has been murky. It's a lot easier. I know where to go if I want to learn how to hold the space, you know. And I had to learn even like for myself, my personality and is such that I can take space easily. You know, I can come in the
Yeah.
room and be the center, you know. But like playing the game of creating space is something that feels fresh. Not even fresh, it's something that I do, but I
Yeah.
hadn't done intentionally. So I'm curious now, like as you think through your through line, as you think through what's happening right now, in what ways are you still creating space, and how do you bring that to life?
Yeah, man. I think so. I'm gonna answer from a philosophical standpoint, and then I'm gonna answer from a business standpoint. So we'll hit both of those. I would say from a philosophical standpoint, you know, I came from a belief system that it was my job to help people. I'm gonna say this carefully, without using words that are so obvious. Push people to a certain construct.
Say it again, but like just like what do you like just say what you want to say. Like it's all right, we got you.
Yeah, like I came from a very well, I was an atheist up until high school and then becoming a Christian. And so within being a Christian, it was taught to me that it was my job to tell everyone else how they should believe, right? So, but what I've learned for myself personally in the past year and 4 months is a lot of the a lot of the radical breakthroughs that I've had were inner work. And the people that helped me get through some of these very difficult times were people that did exactly what you just said. They facilitated a space in which allowed me to work through those things. So in learning that and seeing that and experiencing that for myself, it's really shaped my perception and my perspective on this idea of how do we hold space. On the Strength Finders, my first two are Commander Activator. So I'm annoying. If you tell me you have a business idea, I command through activation. I activate through commanding. I will call you every morning. Have you done this yet? Have you done this yet? To the point to where people are just like, don't tell Brian your idea or he will annoy the crap out of you until you do it. And, you know, even all the way down to little things, like if I was going on a bro trip and I'm just like texting people, you're going to go, you're going to go, you need to go, you need to go, you need to go. And because I'm like, you need this. And at the end of the day, what I realized, flipping the script, right? No, I needed this. That doesn't mean that they need this. This came from my wife once. She's like, I'm like, you know, all these dudes, you know, they got to ask their wives and their wives don't let them go on trips. And she's like, well, maybe they're just using their wives as an excuse because they just don't want to go. And I was just like, oh, shit. Maybe that's true. So this idea of trying to push people into a direction was my insecurity that I didn't fully understand my own direction. Right? So in holding space, I no longer that space consists of where I come in with my expertise and my knowledge and my power and vomit on them where they should go. That's no longer what holding space for me means anymore. Holding space for someone else with me in the room is completely shifted to just sharing who I am and actively listening to where they are. And if there's opportunities for me to support them and serve them to find who they are, then I'll do that. And that doesn't look as sexy sometimes. Sometimes it's just hanging out. It's like with your wife. Sometimes it's just hanging out for 30 minutes and not saying a word, but holding her hand. And that's all she needs. You know, she doesn't need me to save her or fix her. She just needs me to hold her hand if she's had a rough day. And so, okay, so that's philosophically. So bring that back
before,
down.
Before we get to the business, yeah. I want to just give a little bit of like, space, honestly, to that. Firstly, thank you. Thank you for bringing it to that level first. Inside of me, I feel some opening that is taking place. And even just that last part about like holding someone's hand, I remember being at an event and like thinking to you talk about being top heavy earlier, like thinking about like trying to like help someone. We were serving someone, we were all in the group. It was a coaching experience, like, you know, all together, and there was someone who had just come in and just like, honey, I think you could use a hug. And like, I was sitting there, I was like, I mean, she's a grown woman, like, this is not gonna happen. And I remember when that moment took place and like the release that took place in it. And it's like we were all in this space together, trying so hard, trying to actively do something, right? When that wasn't what was actually called for or needed in that moment, like to just be with the person and actually hear what she was saying, because she had said it. She had literally said those words, but it wasn't honored in the same way, because you know. And so as you're talking, I haven't thought about that in a little while. But I'm feeling you here around like the holding space component and the actual room for growth.
Yeah, it's you know, I didn't know we were going to talk about this, so it's evolving into a clear script. But if I were to say it more clearly again, I would say it's people aren't hiring me for my expertise to come in and tell them what to do.
Yeah.
We are deciding to have a value exchange, to where we come together and I help position them to accomplish what they want to accomplish, to be more of themselves. I don't want to be paid to help their ego. Because I sure don't want to pay a therapist or a coach or a mentor to help my ego, because then it's going to be a quick high, right? I can get that from Doritos and Netflix. Like, I don't need a quick dopamine high anymore. Like, I want increased serotonin, right? I want to remove myself from the default network, and I want to further ground myself in the whole self and approach curiosity and creativity and entrepreneurship from there, right? So that's the goal. And this is how that looks from, so very specific thing back to a business example. So I help people tell their story. I'm a brand storyteller. I believe a clear and compelling story should be the anchor of every brand, right? So let's get specifics here. So, but this is something that I've always said as a facilitator and a consultant. I don't adapt to a traditional agency view, right? You go, you get a bunch of information, you go do a bunch of work, and you come back and you tell them what their story should be. I believe the story resides in you. I believe the story resides in your customer. I believe the story resides in your employees that serve the customers. My job is to just help give birth to a clear and compelling version of that story, your story, and then just give you some tips and tools and infrastructure to reinforce that story through all of the channels and customer touch points so that you can make it true. So that is a very tactical example of taking this very big philosophical shift in my mindset and being, and applying that to something as simple as being a consultant, right?
So it's thank you for making the connection there. And like the, because one of the things I love to do here is explore how people take the ways that they see their world and integrate it into like what I don't know the right word of it here, but like integrate it in a way that it's valuable for themselves, that they value, and it's valuable for others.
Yeah.
And what, like, some of what I'm hearing here is like, it's like you kind of shift take place. Like you, like there was something where you recognize, and let me make sure I'm not putting words in your mouth, but you recognize that there was a different way about getting results, getting transformation. Like there's just a different path rather than having to push it on. Right.
Yeah.
And then you found a way, like, and, but I love this, like, it's how you own it. You're like, you might be used to this. You might be thinking this is where it is. If you come into my space and we choose to work together, we are going to do it differently.
Yeah.
And the way that we're going to do it is like, it comes from your belief as to where it comes in. I'm calling out these elements here because I know as outliers, but like we're choosing our own path. We're doing things in a way, we're creating something out of nothing, but we're also like creating our own models of how we see the world being. I call it a world of difference. I talk about that a lot because it's like, how do you create a different world? And so I'm hearing some of the bridges that you've made. Can I ask you, were there any clients that you had beforehand that you then that like transitioned with you as you were making like the inner shift toward this? Like, so the way that you were and the way that you are now, like, did you have any clients that went through it? And I'm kind of curious about like any of the transitions or challenges or like, you know, failures and setbacks you had as you were bringing up this new way of being.
Yeah, man, you know, I haven't even thought about that. So what a great question. So when I sold out of the company at the end of 2022, I took pretty much a year off. Fortunately, I was very fortunate to do that. And I've been working since I was doing landscaping in middle school and then Long John Silver's, which I love that job, by the way. But I did maintain a few clients that were close relationships, and I'm kind of going back. You know, yeah, I mean, I would say, I haven't thought about this, but it's pretty interesting. I would say at the beginning, it's more about trying to convince them that my system was the right system. And every conversation was me trying to lead them to adapt to my mindset so that they would fully engage into my strategy. Okay.
100% following. Keep going.
Yes. And then as it evolved, or as I evolved and broke away from some of that, it turned more into, I would say, if we're speaking practically, I'm even thinking about some of the sessions, spending more time actively listening to where they are, what their struggles were, what very particular thing they were wrestling with. You know, maybe it was an employee that they knew they should fire, but they really struggled firing that person. Maybe it was an inner struggle that they had, that was manifesting itself in just, you know, unorganized chaos. And instead of pushing past those little things that were, I saw little in my mind because I wanted to get them to what I saw as valuable, spending more time sitting with them and unpacking those little things that were big roadblocks for them, and understanding really what was behind what they were communicating to me as the problem, and then working through helping them personally so that they could better, gosh. Really, I keep saying this and I'm going to keep saying it, but, and it's kind of cliche now, but so that they could, from their whole self, move through that roadblock that they were working through. So I was, it's funny that you asked that question because I just naturally started taking people through my process of healing, which was, okay, you have this roadblock that's manifested itself in a quote business problem. So what's happening? What's going on? Well, you know, such and such is such and such. Well, okay, how are, when that happens, when you're in a meeting and that person says something like that, what happens in you? What are you telling yourself? You know? And then right behind that, well, why are you telling yourself that? You know? And then we start really breaking that down. And then we rebuild from there. Oh, okay, cool. So if you believed this and fully accepted this personally, then you would have what you need to go in and have a really constructive meeting with this person. I think so. Okay, cool. Do that. And next week we'll talk about it. And we may, in those sessions, we might not even cover what I had planned, and that was okay. So yeah, long answer, but good question because I haven't even thought about it. I haven't reflected on that yet. But yeah, that's how it's changed.
I appreciate it. The so there's certain things that are happening here, and it's very interesting sitting on this side of, I don't know, like sitting, I was thinking, sitting on this side of the thing, I'm like this side of the screen, I guess, but like as you're talking right now, what's happened is that you're doing something that I consider to be a huge service, right? And I think it's something along the lines of where you play, which is you're like, I share, and you're like, from the sharing, something happens, you know? And so I will reflect to you the insights that I'm getting as a result of this, if you're good with that. What's happening is that I'm remembering. You're helping me rebuild like connections to a part of me in the way that I showed up as a quote unquote coach. I use the quotes now because for the last few years, I've been trying to like define what I am again professionally, you know, because and I, because the definition of what I felt a coach was, or the way that they showed up, didn't feel like it hit all of what I wanted to bring. And as you're talking, I can see some components of it's very beneficial because at a certain point, I was deep in the heart and deep in the soul. And I looked at my bank account, like it's not translated, right? And I'm like, and it's like, and I got to a place where I could no longer feel, I knew it worked. I knew it. But I was like, my skill set or whatever I'm doing right now, like something is off. And so I started taking on a temporary, like, let me just go focus on like getting the metrics down. Let me get like, I got into that mode, which was great. I'm really happy I did it. Not really happy. I am, but I am pleased that I did it, like overall, right? Like I'm giving myself grace on it. Because that temporary, like I'll say detour, that temporary detour ended up becoming like a year, more than a year, really going in and trying to build out systems and doing so on and so forth, which again, like I'm really glad that I do have. I have like, I think that my vision was bigger than this, the skill set that I had at the point at that time. And now I find myself trying to return back, to go back to like, okay, now like I've done the top, like I've gotten top heavy. I'm like, how do I get rid of that? How do I get back down to the heart? Because it was good, and it's small things, Brian. It's small things, but it's like as you're talking, right? I pay attention to my body, right? Because I know that our body is giving us different clues as to like it's part of the listening. Like I listen to my body, and so I've noticed sometimes like my hands are like this, or my hands are the fingertips are touching, or they're put together like kind of clasped one into each other, and this is what comes up. I remember a time where I would be in and I would just be open. So I'm lifting my hands up so you can see it in the screen, but it would really just like sit on my lap or sit on the armrest. And it was just like an open container receiving, and I can feel that. I can feel like the desire to return back to that. And I think that there's something in what you shared here that I'll probably go back and listen to even that it is reminding me of something that I knew, and it's almost like clearing away the shrubbery or the overbrush over like so that like on the pathway back. So I wanted to say thank you for it. It is distinctly meaningful that you're sharing this right now. Any thoughts come to mind? Like I'm just putting that into the space. There's no like real question there. If you have any curiosities, feel free. But I do want to let you know, like even as you're sharing it is working on me.
I mean, I would say, for whatever this is worth. Who you are, I from the moment we started interacting, the visual that I see is there's a handful of people I've met in my life that you melt into, right? And to do so, you have to have what feels like just absolute trust. So, you as an individual, the desire to, at first, right? We're young, we want to go get space. And then we want to go and explore and then just create space to create with others. That's very natural for you. So if you don't believe it, believe it. But I would say my response, or the way I feel in proximity to you, even though we're on a podcast in different, I think we're in different states.
Yeah, lately, yeah.
And that's new for me. This whole like The Body Keeps the Score is a book I read last year when I was going through some trauma release stuff, and I just didn't even, because I was all in my head. I didn't even know, I was just like, if someone punches you in the side, it hurts. Other than that, I wasn't paying attention to my body at all. But in describing what it feels like to be creating with you, that's what it feels like. It feels like just a release and a melt into a space. That's what it feels like. So, and if I in any way help you or anyone else come to a place where it reminds them of who they are, then man, what a great thing to hear. How reassuring, and what an honor. I actually had a session today with my neuropath reprogrammer coach, and we were talking about purpose because I've been really thinking about this concept of purpose in the past month. And this is my articulation. Feel free to adapt to it or construct your own. But I see people struggle because they feel like, what's my purpose? What's my purpose? And when I see that, what I see is they don't believe that they're enough. And if they found their purpose, they would be enough. And a very simple analogy is this the path I should be on? And my response to that is, well, I'm on this path, so it is the right path. And up ahead, there may be, a fork. Which one will I choose? Which one, whichever one I choose, will be the right one because I chose it. So, really coming to this place of presence and allowing myself to not question, again, this is practice, but not giving energy to questioning, that's probably the better phrasing. Not giving energy to questioning, am I on the right path? Is this my purpose? What is my purpose? If I found my purpose, all that feels like insecurities that I'm not enough in this moment. So last year, deep in analytics, was that the right path? Absolutely. Deep in infrastructure, setting up systems and efficiencies and was that the right place to be? Absolutely. Coming back to now that some of that infrastructure is in place, the core, and just, okay, now that I have infrastructure, I have more capacity to hold more space for more people. Is that the right place to be? I think so, because you're here, right? What if you have two paths? Like I said before, whichever one you pick will be the right path. And at the end of the day, purpose is such a funny thing, right? I feel like if we attach ego to purpose, it has to look like us being billionaires giving out $100 million checks to charities, but that's ego. If we're giving unconditional love and gratitude to the people that are in our lives in this moment, then that's serving purpose, right? You may be a company of $100 million. You may be just starting. You may have just got fired from your previous job and now you're starting a company. But I believe if you're giving from a place of your whole self with unconditional love and gratitude, then that is enough. And that is the same as anyone else. It's beautiful. So, anyway, I don't know why I said all that, but that's just what came to mind.
No. Like, let's stay with it. Let's stay with it if you're good here, because I'm gonna reflect some things back to you again if you're good with this here. This is
Yeah.
it's you helped me just now connect into something else that was like with me. So I recognize I said to you, oh man, I have my hands like this, and like my fingers were touching each other in class. And I used to have my hands open, on the in front of me. And I was like, because I shared that with you, going back to that element of like the imposter syndrome or being found out or whatever it is, like what came through my mind was, so if you know that's what you want, why not just do it? And so as you were talking now, it gave me a chance actually to go and sit and practice and just like put my hands out and be like, remember that feeling? You wanted this feeling. You can have it literally right now.
Oh, wow.
So that was something that like was just, it was really wonderful just to be back in, like to just be in the practice of it, like regardless how it felt or how I used to feel and all that. It was a moment of agency again to say like, what are the things that you did that I'm saying I wish I had? Then go then and then like immediately choosing to have it,
Gosh, yeah.
So that one really hit me. And if you're good, I got one more for you. One that has been elusive for me for a while. So like it's like
Oh,
I
yeah.
love these kind of conversations because like again, like it's I shape these. Let me say it first before I get into the preamble. What so, something inside of me shifted around. I recognize that I'm on a this stage of my life right now is about a bit of a grace journey, right? Giving myself grace, being gracious with myself, you know? And what was, it came up in some earlier conversations, and the 2023, the year of 2023, I have, I feel some type of way about it. I know it's really productive, but I'm like, I feel some shame, some guilt. You know, I look at that even at like the wrong. And what was going on was, okay, like as we're talking, I'm like, oh, this is a thing for me right now. This is like return it, bringing some grace along with it. And then the extra part of the gift came in. And this is where I think the real thing, it was just like, oh, Niyama, you're doing it again. This is awesome. And I was like, what is it? It's like, I like to live out loud. I like to be a model, right? I want to put out there and such. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna document. Like, you're documenting this part of your life. Like, there's gonna be a time where like you were developing, building your graciousness muscle toward yourself. That time will, in the future, that may not be the thing you're working on, but you're finding a way to document it. And to, if you, I can come back to, you should go watch that episode I have with Brian, because like in that you got to see in real time the how that was playing out, you know? And so there's the actual moment that I'm having, but then I think from a internal part of grabbing my heart here is like the oomph of me, the essence of me is like, okay, yeah, you're actually doing all the things that you do. Your body of work is being created. Like you're doing your work. Let go of how it's getting done, let go of the end results of it, but just know that like for what I consider the work to be, it's happening right now. I thought I would be sharing about how awesome these things came out. And it's like, nope, you are here to be a shepherd of graciousness right now and keep doing that. So I hadn't realized it. I hadn't come to you. That hadn't come to me. And I appreciate what you said and for creating that within me.
Yeah, gosh, I love that subject, grace with self, because man, we beat the shit of ourselves so much.
Seriously,
And
right?
it's like our, because of media and all this kind of stuff, we think we're focused externally, but gosh, we do a lot more damage internally. I think some of the scripts that I've latched on to navigate, the bruises of the inner critic. This is one of them. All I can do is act on with what I know and what I have. And that gives me grace for the past. I love the quote. This quote is, I forgive the part of me that I created that needed to survive. What a profound quote. As kids, if we didn't have a good relationship with our parents, or if we had severe trauma, like we were abused or sexually abused, that turned us into something. And as we get older and we work through that, hopefully, we look back and we're like, gosh, that turned me into this. But it's having grace and realizing that we needed to become something to just navigate that trauma. And all we could do is the best we could with what we knew and what we had. And we're doing that today, and we'll do that tomorrow. So that script allows me to not look at the bag. I should have done this. I should have invested in that. I shouldn't have partnered with that person. I thought it was the best thing at the time, or I wouldn't have done it. And how much did I learn? One guy told me, sit down and write down every single business venture that you've been a part of, and write down what you learned. And I did that exercise just 2 weeks ago, and I learned a lot. Just being retrospective, non-judgmental, and just writing down what I loved, what I learned in that experience. And it was just so eye-opening to be able to reflect on those times without judgment. And it gave me a lot of knowledge and self-awareness to apply to my current projects and partnerships and businesses, right? And that's the work, right? Gosh, that's the work. I mean, do we really want a life where we just come into this and we do everything perfectly and everything's fine? I mean, do we really want that? I don't think we do. I really don't.
I'm in your camp on that one here.
Yeah.
I mean, there's certain things where I'm like, it'd be great if this goes well, you know, like, but I think even to some of the things that you do, really, like, you get the story.
Yeah.
You get, there's a lot that comes along with it.
But
Brian,
the other, I gotta hit you with one more phrase. So this is the
I love
second
it.
phrase in that subject of grace for self. And that's this. We're just looking for unconditional love with a bag of conditions. I heard that quote somewhere, and man, you can apply that to yourself. You can apply that to your relationship with God. You can apply that to everything. We're just a being looking for unconditional love with a bag full of conditions. Looking for unconditional love. Well, my bank account isn't big enough, so that must mean that I'm not good enough. That's a condition. I'm this status. I'm this race. I'm this sex. All those are conditions. All these things are conditions when we're just looking for unconditional love, regardless of my status, race, gender, sex, mistakes, language, experience, regardless of any of those conditions that brought us to this moment right now, we are and we have unconditional love. Right? We just have to let go of those conditions. And I'm not saying that like it's easy. That's the work, right? That's the work. You want to run a marathon? Someone who runs marathons told me if you want to run a marathon, it starts with just running every single day, even if it's 5 minutes. That's what it takes to run a marathon. Run every single day. What's the work? The work is letting go of the conditions so that we can fully embrace unconditional love.
Brian, I am thrilled that we got to spend time here today.
I know,
I
an
am
hour went
like,
by really quick.
I'm really, really thrilled. There's a lot of things that are taking place, and I think that one of the gifts that you've given me in this conversation, I've reflected back. I've told you some things, but there's an element of being recognized. Like every time I come into a conversation, we can let the conversation be what it like. It can just be like I'm recognizing, like, I'm like, wow, there's a lot of variety in what we do. It's consistent variety in the sense that, like, when you come here, you're gonna have meet two people who are really meeting each other and taking and like and staying present to the conversation at hand more than anything else, you
I love
know?
that.
Yeah. And I think that there's the act being gracious, what's come to mind is like, what if that was the thing? What if people kept coming back because of that? They're like, I wonder what this one's going to be like, because I didn't know what the last one was, as opposed to every time that they come in, they follow the same structure, for example, you know? So it's a new way to play. And I,
Oh, I like
that's
your
a,
okay. So
yeah.
this is so cool. So I love the format. It's almost just like join me as I meet Brian.
That's it. I mean, that's the reality of all these things that all
I
I've
love
ever done.
it. I
Yeah.
love your format. I really
Yeah.
do. I think it's special. Instead of just this, Brian's a brand storyteller. Let's get the three action steps to better brand story. It's like,
Like go to his
now let's,
podcast. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
go work with him. Like, and honestly, y'all, go work with him, you know? But
That's good.
you talked earlier about like trust and such. And I think that there's a couple things that guide me. There's like we also often compare how we feel on the inside with how others look on the outside. That's one. And I think
Gosh,
that
yes.
and the other side of it for me is I'm like, look, we have access to so many people that can do skills. You know, that can that that promise results. So like on the result promising department, like that's covered, you know.
Yes,
Now
yes.
I'm looking to see like how do we actually like how do we trust them? And I think that like in a lot of different ways, that's it. That's what this whole like I'm like, I hope people hear the way you your philosophies, hear the way that you like held me at, like, as I was going through this here, like, and have that speak more to them than like we use this proprietary system of methodology in order to get you the same thing everyone else gets you. It's like
Yes.
you're gonna really enjoy this process, Brian. Like, and that's something that how else can you share it other than to experience it?
Gosh.
So Brian, like, we're gonna wrap up this conversation, but like, we'll do two things. What the first one here is, If someone wants to continue down the journey with you, they want to just stay in your world, whether they're working with you or they want to follow something you're doing, like what's the best way? What are the ways that people can continue down with you?
So, my Instagram is new_scripts, and that's just where we're going to be sharing these scripts, from a professional standpoint to a personal standpoint. And Brian G. Noel is my personal Instagram, which is private, but if you message me or somehow be like, "Hey, I heard this you on the podcast," then I'll accept your website, of course. And I'm from a professional standpoint, I'm very active on LinkedIn. I'm doing a Dear Founder series. Dear Founder, You Lonely, Dear Founder, You the Chaos, Dear Founder, You Listening. So I'm very active from a professional, translating all these concepts into business ideas on LinkedIn. So yeah, feel free to check it out and message me in any of those places if you have any questions about the content.
Love it, love it. Two more questions for you. What was your biggest insight from any part of our conversation today?
You know, I love your phrase when you said weight but not heavy. Because I haven't been able to articulate the shift in being top heavy and unbalanced versus the depth and weight from a grounded standpoint, but it's not heavy. It doesn't feel heavy. So the way you articulated that, I thought was just very special. I'm gonna go right on that.
I appreciate you. I'm gonna ask you one last question then, because I want to respond. I'm like, now let's bring this here. I end each conversation with what I call the time capsule. And what that is that up until this point, you have the wisdom that you have. And a lot of times people will say, what would you go and tell the Brian 20 years earlier? I'm not interested in that. My question is, if you were gonna leave a message right now for your future self, that the Brian 15 or 20 years later would listen. You're 20 years older than you are right now. What's the message that you would want to leave to remind that that you feel like it'll be a great reminder for yourself 20 years down the road?
Gosh, I have to be quick with that. I would say, out of all that I've learned in my entire life and in this past year of a lot of different healing modalities, I would say there's absolutely nothing better than just being present. Presence, presence. When I'm my little 6-year-old, he's nonverbal. When he wants me to play with him, he just sits on the floor and taps the floor. And that's him telling me to come sit with him. And when I'm present and we just play with trains, play with cars. And when I can be present with him, he knows it. And there's nothing that feels better with being present with those that you love and admire and respect. And so, man, if I go through all this and I lose that, that would be tragic.
Well, I appreciate you, Brian. Thank you for bringing your presence into this conversation here. Thank you for bringing all of you here. And just know that I'm grateful for getting to know you. I'm looking forward to where things go out from here. And we'll take it on from there. All right.
Nice. Thank you.
Absolutely. Journey on.